There was a song that was once played on my way to Ruston, and I was just, you know, cruising through the radio looking for a little news story or two to make sure I'm up on things for the day. And lo and behold, I run across Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson singing one of his beautiful country songs, Blue Skies. Blue Skies. Wow. And I listen, and what an incredible song that was. So, in light of that song, Blue Skies, I'm thinking, what is Willie thinking here? Willie has some hope for the future, that things will get better, because things are pretty rough. Even for Willie, because he could be in jail, we all know that. But this song, Blue Skies, I kind of thought of it as a metaphor for the kingdom of God. We're all searching for that peace, that blue skies where the birds are singing and it's miraculous in that there's peace on earth. You know, some of the words of the song are, blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. That's that longing for something different. Birds singing a song. Nothing but blue skies from now on. That's what the kingdom's going to be like. I could sing the next line, but that would be a special music, and I wouldn't want to do that. He goes on to say, blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. So that metaphor, when you're thinking about the kingdom of God and how badly we all want to see that day come, we think of the kingdom of God. And we should be thinking about the kingdom of God. We're entering the dog days of summer, the gap between the last holy day and the next group of holy days, which is a fairly long period. What should we be doing during that time to keep focus? I think that we need to focus on the kingdom of God from now till the feast, when we really get to dig in to that kingdom and what it's going to be all about. The coming kingdom of God. So our title today is Focus on the Kingdom. Focus on the Kingdom. We know that the kingdom is coming. It's coming. And we wish it would be sooner rather than later. It's the restoration of all things. Everything is going to be set right. It has to come. It has to come. Else it'll be like in the days of Noah. Remember what happened in the days of Noah? It got so bad that God said, enough! No more! He took action that left the earth decimated with just one family to start over. We have to live in this society, even though it may be approaching the days of Noah. We have to live and operate in this society, this evil world. And you can't pick up the paper or listen to the news or look on the internet without seeing evil, evil that's extant in the world. The world is a total mess with COVID. We're beginning to ease our way out of it in the U.S., but many other nations are just getting going good. And they are suffering. And we have brethren suffering around the world where COVID is not under control. They don't have vaccines. The Russians and the Chinese are trying to bargain with these countries to bring them under their umbrella and we'll give you some vaccine. A little bit of horrible trade in that respect. How do we cope with the days that we're in? How do we go about day to day focusing on the kingdom? How do we keep our focus on the kingdom? A Focus on the kingdom. If you will turn to Psalm 31, and we'll begin in verse 1. Focus on the kingdom. In this psalm, the commentaries like to say, and it could be said that this is David's sermon to the nation to try to enlighten them, to try to turn them around. Psalm 37 in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. God gives us some things not to do while we're waiting for His kingdom to come. And if we focus on this kingdom, we will not fret about evildoers, because there's honestly too many to fret about. So many evildoers. It's all around us. Evil people doing evil things. Murder, mayhem, child abuse, drug addictions. There's no end to it. We're bombarded with it constantly. Just bombarded with it. But we're told, trust in the Lord. But we're also told, don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Fretting means to get mad, get hot. In the Hebrew, we can't get mad because we see the way the world is. We have to understand that God will solve these problems. Why does God let people get away with it? Why does He? Why didn't He just smack these people down? That's what we'd like to see, right? We'd like to see God do something about this. And He will. His plan, His kingdom, will solve these problems ultimately. We think, is God fair? Is God fair to let all this go on in the world and let, so many suffer at the hands of others? Sometimes it sure doesn't seem fair to us. We think we should see God fry these people. I mean, just light them up. Sooner the better. Let's get rid of these people. Do the evil ones always seem to be getting ahead? Are they the multi-trillionaire billionaires of the world? But we can't get mad at God. We can't get hot with God that He doesn't snap to and do what we wish He would do. In verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's what God's plan is going to be for these people. They'll be cut down like a lawnmower on the grass. And there's enough of them that it'd be like a lawnmower on the grass. And they're going to wither as the green herb. So we can't get mad at God. He has a plan. He will take care of it. In verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. How do we focus on the kingdom? We trust in God. We trust that He has our best interest at heart in everything that occurs. Trust in the Lord and do good. We have to not only trust in God, but we have to do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. So He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Leave these matters in God's hands. But what about the doing good part? That's also part of the requirement. We have to do good. In James 2, if you would turn to James 2, verses 17 and 18. James 2, verse 17 and 18. Thus also faith by itself, the faith that He requires us to have, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So that's doing good. We have to do works. It's required. In 1 John 2, if you will turn to 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17, we have to do good. What is good? Good is explained all through the New Testament by Jesus Christ. John 2, verses 16 and 17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what we see around us. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Doing the will of God, following his Ten Commandments, following the life of Jesus Christ in all of his parables and admonitions. Galatians 6, verse 9. You turn to Galatians 6. And verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. We can get tired of it. Maybe we've served in the church for a long time, and we've had the same job. Nobody gets a raise around here, do they? You just keep having to serve and serve and serve. And there's very little advancement. Yes, you can advance from running the backboard to being up front. I guess that's an advancement. But we can't get weary while we're doing good. And we're supposed to do good to others. Doing good is an outward bound activity. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Got to stick with it. Got to stick with it. What does doing good look like? What is doing good? How about the Beatitudes in Matthew 5? Just turn over there quickly. We go there so often, and yet they're so, so important. Matthew 5. This is what doing good looks like. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Just a small thing about making peace with all people at all times. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yes, if you get persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's a good thing. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It goes on with a few more blessings. What about Matthew 25? This is what doing good looks like. Matthew 25. And we all know that this is the parable of the sheep and the goats. We know that the sheep were doing good to others. And we know that the goats turned a blind eye. Never noticed. That's like never noticed the miracles that occur in our lives. So we know what happens to the sheep. And we know what happens to the goats. When people are naked, you clothe them. When you're hungry, when they're hungry, you feed them. You help. You help where you can. If they're in prison, you can visit, you can encourage, those that are going through really, really hard times. And these people did not know that Christ was watching this, that Jesus Christ himself was watching this. When did we see you, Jesus, in any of these? But if we do it to others, that's what Jesus Christ and God notices. And if you don't, he certainly takes note of that too. And he mentions of the goats in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but with the righteous to eternal life. That's where we want to be. It's exactly where we want to be. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, we will continue. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If we do this, God will do that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Rejoice that you know God, you know of God, that you can know him personally, you can communicate with him personally. You can enjoy God. You can enjoy his creation. You can revel in his promises to us. We need to derive our happiness from God and the knowledge of God and knowing God. The last half of verse 4, he says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. Does that mean if you say, gimme, 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 that God is just going to start handing out? That's not how God operates. But if your desires are aligned with God's word, he will bless you with the desires of your heart. In Psalms 84, in verses 11, Psalms 84 and verse 11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He's our sun. He's the brightness that we can always look to. He's a shield. He protects us. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Yes, he'll give you the desires of your heart. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Back to Psalm 37 and verse 5, if you would. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. We commit our way to the way of the Lord, the pathway that he sets us on. We can't go our way. We've got to go the Lord's way. We've got to follow the path, the narrow path. There's another path. It's easy, broad. It's like a high-speed track. You can be going the wrong way very quickly on a high-speed track. We have to enter that narrow path, and that's the path to the kingdom. Our lives have to be committed to God and to the service of God. If you turn to Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14 and verse 22. We've got Paul and Barnabas who've been on a missionary trip. Verse 21. We'll begin. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Wow, how is that a popular message? You, brethren, you will have many tribulations before you reach the kingdom. That's basically what they were telling them. They were strengthening them, though, by the faith that they have in God, and they were exhorting them to continue the faithful path, the faithful path. But warning them that, yeah, there's going to be some bumps in this road. Through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God. He promises good things to those who walk down this path. And we'll go back to Psalms. Psalms 37, back again. And we'll look at verses 6. After we just commit our ways to the Lord and trust in Him, He shall bring it to pass. Only God has the capacity to bring all of this to pass. No man is going to be able to accomplish peace on earth. No man is ever going to see this blue skies that Willie sang about and the peace that he was earning for. Verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Where in the world do we see justice? In the world today, in our nation, in our localities, where is justice? It seems as if only God is just. Only God is just. And it causes people a lot of problems, the injustices. David said in Psalms 23, verse 3, you don't need to turn there, it says, "Lead me in the paths of righteousness." Take me down the path of righteousness and of justice, because we're not going to find justice on any other path. In 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, in verse 6, of 1 Peter 5, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." You see, God is committed to us, as He asked us in verse 5, to commit to Him. We have to have a total commitment to God. He's always committed to us. He's committed to the entire world to save it. So let's turn to verse 7 of Psalm 37. It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." This is how we focus on the kingdom. We have patience. We have patience. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We hate to wait. Does anyone like to wait? I don't think we can find any of us that like waiting. We don't like to be in lines. We got to shift back and forth along the grocery lines and try to get one with the fewest people. We don't like to wait. When we're in traffic, we get all anxious and gripey, and, you know, we may say something we don't mean and we shouldn't say. And that's terrible. We hate to wait. It's often good to be silent and listen to God. That's what the opposite of that would be. Our patience is constantly challenged. Have you read about so many road rage issues now? Some little thing can happen and it triggers a shooting on the road. Or people will cut you off. Road rage is really at an epidemic state itself in this country. We have trucks going up and down the road every day. And just this last week, we had people, you know, cut us off to where we had to go to a full blazing stop. And luckily, we never ran over anybody. But you know what that does to the load in the back? It does a lot of damage. All those pallets are shifting around, and they're, in essence, ruined in some cases. That's a time for road rage, but you've got to control yourself. And we hope our drivers, and we pray that they always control themselves, and they don't get outraged and try to run somebody off the road after that. But things like that happen all the time. I mean, just congestion. I hate going to Dallas because I don't care which route you choose, something is going to happen on that route that's going to slow you down and waste a lot of your time. Do you get short with your wife when she doesn't get ready in time or as fast as you want her? You're impatient. Husbands, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go there. You husband, if you're always late, you're the one dragging around. Wives, take it easy on them. Up to a point. Do we get impatient with God because he doesn't wrap this thing up the way we'd like to see him wrap up the end of the world and the coming kingdom? Do we want to see him punish the wicked as quickly as possible? We're a little bit impatient with God bringing his kingdom to this earth. And it's got to come before I die. That wouldn't be fair. Are we waiting patiently for Christ's return? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We can see those blue skies if we can continue to be patient. Those blue skies are ahead in the kingdom of God. And we got to focus on that kingdom. It's hard to wait. I think we all know that. It's hard to wait. Many in this audience and many who have passed have been waiting a long time. I personally began to understand the story of God's plan when I was a young child. And as you can see, I'm past that now. It's been a long wait. Many have waited a long time. Many others have died in the faith along the way. So many. Among this group, it would be dozens and scores maybe that we have lost over the years. Many have lost mates. When I go to the Gladewater Cemetery, it always reminds me of the literally thousands who are buried there that will rise in the kingdom at Christ's return. It's a cemetery full of those in the East Texas area who waited and waited patiently and died in the faith. And they are awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. They were focused on the kingdom. And we must stay focused on the kingdom. My parents, my grandparents, all of your relatives who died in the faith, dead and buried, their patience was tested. Yes, their patience was tested. In Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. We have to be confident. We have the promises of God. How much more confident can we be that someone will live up to what they say? Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We need endurance. We must have endurance. In James 5, verses 7 and verse 8, James 5. I hear a lot from farmers these days because we work in farming around the world and, you know, certainly in the U.S. And recently was speaking with, you know, some farmers and some researchers up in the northern part of this country. And they are waiting for rain. And they had early rains, as we had a month worth of early rains. But then the spigot was turned off, and now they are waiting. They're waiting patiently for the latter rain. And if they don't get it, they may not make a crop, and the cost of bread may go up. So the farmer waits in James 5, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. There it is again. Be patient until Christ's return. We have to be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. Make sure your heart is right. Your heart is focused on God and on the kingdom of God, and that you want to be with God. You want to be there. You don't want just all the fun things of the kingdom. You really want to be with God, your maker. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's at hand for each of us, because our race could be over today, tomorrow, next month. We want to make sure that we die in the faith, if that's what it's called for. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It is at hand. And we will be fortunate if we see it all personally. We think of the faithful in Hebrews 11. We think about those faithful and the lives that they led. But each one of them is still waiting. They are in their graves and they are still waiting for the appearance of Jesus Christ. But they were faithful. They're called faithful. Hopefully we'll have some chapters in a book where many, many more faithful will be mentioned. But they're all still waiting. We're all waiting for that great event, the return of Jesus Christ, and those coming days of nothing but blue skies ahead of the kingdom and in the kingdom. Those blue skies that we all want to see. The focus on the kingdom. In Psalm 37, if you go back to Psalm 37 again, I'd like to read verses 39 and verse 40. I'd like to read this passage with a bit of license, I would say. I'd like to personalize it for me and for you as well. Psalm 37 and verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is our strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help us and deliver us. He shall deliver us from the wicked and save us because we trust in Him. So, as we await the coming kingdom, don't fret about evildoers. God's got it all under control. He will take care of that. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His promises. He's made incredible promises to us and to the entire world and to all that have ever lived. We got to trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the day as you wake up in the morning and you see the morning sun. Delight in the Lord, in His words of wisdom to us and His words of comfort. We must commit to the Lord. We commit our lives to being focused on the kingdom of God as it comes. And we must rest in the Lord and wait patiently. We have to do it. There's no alternative. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. This is how we live in this evil world until the kingdom comes. We focus on the kingdom.